All right, stand to your feet one more time, if you would, with me. I want us to, what was happening in the worship still resonates with me. I want us to take the next 30 seconds, and I want us, we've been talking about the roar of heaven, speaking God's word, but it's also a praise. And some of you have been dealing with challenges and battles this week. I don't know it. Jesus knows. Some of you are living on top of the mountain in victory, and we celebrate that. But I want you to know that the praise can be loud regardless if you're in victory or if you're in a battle.
Amen.
Don't let the problem put out your praise.
Amen.
It's like trying to blow out someone else's candle. Some of us, we only shine brighter when everything's great. But I think there's something happens, and many of you will agree, when we begin to praise God, when nothing seems like it's going right. Because if I only praise him, and I did this in our lunch break devotional, our online Bible study Tuesday, if I only praise him when I'm getting something or only to get something, what is the difference in that and flattering and manipulating God? Because when we flatter people, we're really manipulating them, and we're saying what they want to hear so we can get what we really want. See my point? Well, it's almost like you pull a lever, drop a coin, pull a lever, and maybe you'll get something out of it. And that's how we treat praise. What if, and he is your healer, your deliverer, your protector, okay, your provider, not just because he's done it for you, but because of who he is. But what if you haven't experienced God in that way yet? And you're dealing with a battle. Can you praise him anyway? Yeah. What if it costs you everything?
Yeah.
Is he important enough to be worthy of your praise? Not because you're trying to get something for, and he loves giving his kids stuff. Don't misunderstand me. Keep it in balance. Jesus said it's the desire of the Father to give you the kingdom. He loves. I mean, Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please him, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you see my point? And so we have to be realize that God wants a reward. God wants to answer his prayer. But we can't approach the throne with the idea of, I'm just going to go in real quick so I can get what I want and I'm out of here.
Right.
Something about a praise that comes from our heart. Because God told his people, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
Right.
And some of us have gone to church services and raised our hands and sung our song and emotionally cried and feel a little emotionally better, but we've never had a deposit from heaven because we've never given our heart and our praise. And I'm not saying you haven't today. I know you have. But for those who may be dealing with battles and you don't feel like praising and it doesn't look like you have a reason to pray, praise, let me tell you, don't look at your circumstances when you define your praise to God. And I want us to take the next 30 seconds, and I don't care if you're on the top of the mountain or if you feel like you're in prison like Paul and Silas were. I want us to give God the loudest praise, not just because he's going to do something, but because it nonetheless, he is worthy of all our praise. And you praise him anyway. You praise him anyway. Come on, so out of your mouth. Not just your clap, out of your mouth. Come on. Give a shout of praise. A roar of praise. Let heaven resonate with the sound of what you're doing right now. Let's shake the rafters of eternity. Let the angels feel the breeze of what's coming out of your mouth today. Come on, let's praise him. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you. You are King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our praise. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you because you are worthy of all our praise. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We thank you. We honor 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 you. Hallelujah. We honor you. We praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody shouted, amen. Greet two or three people. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've been doing a series, like I said, on the roar of heaven. Revelation 5:5 tells us that that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. And do you know you're the brother of Jesus?
Yes.
He's the firstborn of many brethren, the Bible says.
Amen.
You are also the child of God. And if Jesus is a Lion of the tribe and we're his brother, what does that make us?
Yes.
Amen. And there's a roar that comes from heaven. It's the command of God from his word. And learning that in battles, how to operate in that command, how to exercise the authority God's given us. And so I want to talk today about building or developing a lion heart. Lion-hearted. Webster defines that as being brave and courageous. Proverbs says that when your strength fails in the day of battle, then you are really weak. It's not having battles. See, life isn't constant battles, but in life you'll deal with trials and tribulations, Jesus said. But be of good cheer.
Yes.
Why would you be of good cheer? Well, one, because you know Jesus has victory, because he said, I have overcome. Two, you understand that your victory comes from him.
Amen.
And three, anytime you have a victory in a battle, there's advancement. Amen. So when the devil starts messing with you, you're going to feel it emotionally. The devil will try to mess with your mind mentally. But when you get into the word, have the attitude of, I'm not only going to come out ahead. I'm not only going to come through this. I'm going to come out ahead with more than I had before.
Amen.
Just say out loud, devil, you should never mess with me now.
You need
to let the devil know that you're not scared of him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But I want us to start in the context of Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bible or you look through the screen. I'm going to read on the Living Bible translation on this one. It says, then God said, let us make man to be someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and the skies and the seas. It was the context of the design, the plan of the Father, to cause Adam to be in a position as a master of life. Now, if you go to a lot of different churches, a lot of different churches can take the same Bible, and some of them preach total different teachings. And I believe it's error. But we still love people because we're all growing. Some know, we can tell you what our denomination believes. We can tell what our grandmother has taught us. That's why we developed a culture around here, a value point that you need to challenge everything with the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, when God put Adam in the garden, he didn't put him there to be a servant. He put him to be the master, to be in charge.
Yes, yes.
Say, who's in charge?
Who's in charge?
Shout, who's in charge?
Who's in charge?
There was to be no question when Adam was in the garden that he was the one in charge. Even God brought the animals, not to go down this road too long, God brought the animals for Adam to name. Well, did God not remember names or came up lack with creativity? No, he was letting those animals know who's in charge.
Yeah.
And when you name something, then all of a sudden you can identify it and you can deal with it.
Amen.
Some of us have problems that we haven't dealt with because we don't challenge it. We don't challenge it because we won't identify it as a problem. Okay, moving right along. But Pastor, that was Genesis. What about today? Well, we know that Adam subjected himself under the authority of the devil and brought humanity, because not only his sin, his position of authority under that rule. It was a debt, and because it was such a deep debt, they could not pay. But because of the debt, Adam was the one that was ruling. Are you listening? It wasn't just because of sin. If it was just because of disobedience to God, listen to me for a real quick second, and I want you to challenge this, then it would have happened when Eve followed the devil and took a bite out of the fruit. But it didn't happen until Adam did it. What? Why? Because Adam was the one who was in charge.
Yes.
And it brought all humanity, under that curse.
Yeah.
Which most people don't realize. They think Cain and Abel were their first children. Cain and Abel were not Adam and Eve's first children. And some theologians believe they were twins. And I can prove it. Because when Cain in the Bible says, when Cain killed Abel. Remember when God was dealing with them?
Yes.
And he kicked them out of the garden and he sent them to a city. And Cain says, if they see me and know what I've done, they'll kill me. And he said, I'll put a mark on you. And if they kill you, then they'll be under punishment too. Okay, let's back up a little bit. If there's only four people on the planet, give it time. Give it time. Then who's the people in the city? Huh. In fact, I would just, and this will be my personal opinion, I will dare to say that potentially Eve had a lot of children. Because under the curse, part of the curse was that she would have pain in childbirth. If you've never had childbirth without pain, what would a difference would it make? If you don't know what you've lost,
right?
So the absence of, you know, I mean, you're not going to have this. Well, if you never had it, you wouldn't know. It wouldn't make a difference to you.
Right.
So the pain would come not only in the pain, but the loss of something you had before. They lost the glory. They lost the success because now they had to till by the sweat of their brow.
Right.
But they also, she would have to give birth under pain. So in theory, she could have given birth to a lot of people, and in the perpetual, over time, they had children, cities were being developed. We don't know how long they lived in the garden. The Bible doesn't say. We know how long Adam lived because it gives a chronological date of how old he was. But I would dare, and this is, again, this would be my opinion, I would dare challenge that that did not start till after he left the garden and was kicked out. Because if you live forever, why would you track your age? Right? After 160,000 years, I mean, why do you keep track of it? So I would dare say that they lived in the garden for a long time before they fell. But when he fell, when he sinned, he brought all humanity under the rule of the devil.
Right.
Now Jesus came, who the Bible refers to in the New Testament, as the second Adam. Or you can say it even better, the final Adam, where the first Adam brought humanity under sin. The second Adam ransomed and redeemed humanity from sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
And so as a second Adam, he has first restored our spiritual authority. Not the natural authority yet, as far as the world coming under the authority of God. That is under a lease. Why would God do that? Because he set up a time frame. There's a time, and he leased it to humanity. And Matthew 24 tells us that only the Father knows the end of that time, not even the angels. But during that time, until that time is up, we live on this side of eternity under that lease, but we have spiritual authority. You have a physical flesh, which gives you that natural authority, but there's still a devil who roams that has the authority of the skies that we have to deal with.
Right.
Let me give you another verse. I don't want you to stay in Genesis. Romans chapter 5. Did I lose you with the whole thing? Some of you, you're still back in the garden thinking about Eve having a bunch of kids, aren't you? I wonder how many kids she had. I wonder how long they were in. It don't matter. We'll never know until we get to heaven. And then you're going to ask them. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, referring to the first Adam, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So the second Adam restores to us the spiritual authority to reign in our life.
Amen.
Jesus said, all authority, power and authority is given unto me after the resurrection. All authority is given unto me. Now you go in my name.
Amen.
You can even cast out devils, which means you have authority over demonic powers.
Amen.
You pray for the sick. That means you can change the direction of the natural. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Say, God's given me authority. So we see not only the beginning plan of God, but also as it develops the current plan where we're at in the plan of God in time, that he has, through Jesus, made a way for us not only have our sins forgiven, go to heaven, be free, and we're not going to hell, be free from that condemnation and all those benefits, but within that context, he's given us authority. Now, Galatians tells us that a child, as long as he stays a child, he is under the rule of the tutors as a servant, even though he is Lord of all, which means he has the authority, he has the rights, it's in his bloodline, he is the heir, he has access, but as long as he stays in his infancy, he is still now being subjected to the surroundings. One day when he wakes up and grows up, he can look around and say to that tutor, you can't do that anymore. I'm in charge. Say, I'm in charge. See, that's, listen, my friend, if you think going to heaven, that salvation is just about you getting a free ticket to get to heaven, and that you just want to live your life like the rest of the world and go to God when you have a major crisis you can't handle, and we're just going to do our best to me, and whatever comes. To me, and we've used this illustration before, to me it's like walking by an apple tree and say, I'm so hungry, let me look for fruit. Well, anybody can pick up the fruit that falls on the ground. And some people are like Christians. They're just looking to the natural, waiting for something to drop. They're waiting for something to fall. And anybody can do that. Ooh, I got a 3% raise this year. Well, everybody, even the atheist in your company got 3%. Praise God for your 3%. I'm not saying don't praise God for the 3%. Amen. Praise God for the 3%. But if everybody's getting it, it's just something fell. It fell into your lap. Don't wait for everything to fall into your spiritual lap. You can go after things. That's what you understand. That's one of the important things of growing spiritually. You realize that you don't have to just wait for things to fall into your lap.
Amen.
You can look up in that top of that tree and say, wow, there's some good fruit up there. I'm going to climb that tree. Why am I waiting for somebody to drop it in my lap when I can go after it? Jesus said, and the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Oh, that's not what he meant. Well, then look at Hebrews 11, verse 33, that said, by faith they subdued kingdoms and obtained promises. That's not passive. Say, that's not passive. Now, baby Christians, they just get saved. All they care about is, will God forgive me of the last sin I just did 2 days ago? And that's the cycle. Sin, forgive me. Sin, forgive me. Sin, that's a baby Christian. And you are living way below what's available to you. And you are heir of all that God has given you. You're a child of God. You have so much more available to you. But you'll have to stay under the elements. Galatians tells you have to stay under that tutor of the natural until you come and grow and begin to say, wait a minute, tutor, you're not in charge anymore.
Right.
I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to be tormented. I don't have to stay in sickness. I don't have to struggle. I can have victory. I have some say about this.
Yes.
People look at Christianity, oh, it's just a crutch. Yeah, you try it sometime. It's not a crutch. You put a target on your back. But the reality is, it's not swimming downstream where everybody can swim. Anybody can float down a stream.
Right.
You go rafting, I mean, there are people, they'll be so intoxicated, they'll tie their float onto somebody else's float. Why? Because they're in no control, and they're just going where the stream takes them.
Right.
And that's how a lot of people do in life. But I'm telling you that God has a better way. Now, wide is the road, Jesus said, that leads to destruction. And many, many find that. That means they're looking for it. But narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. And few find it. Why? Because not everybody wants it. Some people just rather say, well, I'm just going to live, and I'm just going to try to be a better person and not get so angry all the time and try to be nicer to my spouse and try to help my community and volunteer a little more. And I'm just going to try to be a nice contributor to society. And good for you. Aren't you good? But you're living below what God has for you. I'm not wanting you to agree with me today. I want to stir you enough to look into this because for victory to come, you got to get hungry for it.
Amen.
You have to get to where you say, enough's enough.
Yes.
Enough's enough.
Enough is enough.
You say, but you know, I've been here for a long time. Okay, let's change chapters.
Right.
What a great story. What a great story. Because there's other people that are dealing with the same problem you are dealing with, or they'll be dealing with it. And what a great story to say, man, I was like that for 20 years. But you know what? I got this revelation, and I begin to do this, and this is what God did. Well, Pastor, when will God fix it? Are you listening to me? There's a level of maturity. God's waiting on you, not you waiting on him. God's saying, they'll wake up. They'll grow up. They'll rise up. Where does that come from? Psalms 119 says the entrance of his word. The entrance, or the unfolding, one translation, of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. But Isaiah 60 tells us in verse 1 that for us to arise and shine. Why? 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 Write it down and look. For your light has come.
Yeah.
And when the light has come, so is the glory. That's a manifest of the ability of God. Come on, somebody. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And nations will come to your rising. People will come. People of authority will come. People of influence will come. No one knows who I am. Yeah, watch when you get a miracle. Watch what happens. Watch when your finances becomes miraculously different. Watch what happens. Watch when your health changes. Watch how the prominent doctors and nurses come.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're going to want to know what happened in your rising. What's up with this?
Right.
You're not the same person you used to be. We have the evidence. We have an x-ray and this x-ray. It doesn't match up.
Come on.
Attacks come. But just because attack come doesn't mean you need to lay down and take it. You're not a dog that's supposed to be held down and beat by a cruel master. That's not your heavenly Father. He's a good God. Don't let religion tell you that God's doing that to you. He's a good God. He's freed you. And he tells you through his word, rise up, shine, and take dominion over your world.
Mm.
See, I can reign.
I
want to play a little logic with you. If we're to reign, if Adam was to reign and to rule, if we're to reign, does that not infer an adversary?
Yes. Right.
If you don't have an adversary, you don't need to rule or to reign.
Right.
Come here, your boss says, yeah, I'm going to give you a prominent position. Really? I'm making you in charge of this whole department. Wonderful. Any raise? No, not yet. But you are the top dog of this whole department. Okay, where is everybody? There's nobody there yet. You mean I'm the top dog of the whole department of one? Yes. You're not in charge.
Right.
It's just you.
Right.
I jokingly tell my daughter, who's 16, I'll come up and say, how you doing? You're my favorite daughter. She goes, I'm your only daughter. I said, it's an easy win, but you're still the favorite. Not much competition there. No, if you have to rule, if you have to reign, then there's competition. There's an adversary. There's something you have to do something about. And I know if you're like me, I just kind of like the kumbaya, let everybody get along, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Let's just all float together on the lazy river of life and just enjoy each other's company. How you doing as we pass? Good for you. God bless you. Everybody get along. And we'll even put bumper stickers on our back of our car. Can we all just get along? And no, you have an adversary.
Right.
I don't like adversaries. I don't either. That's why you lock your doors.
Right, right.
John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says that we are to be vigilant, sober, because your adversary, the devil, roams around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So he roams around as a roaring lion. Why? Because he wants to be like Jesus so bad he can't stand it. He wants to be like God. He wants to imitate God and he can't. So he tries to be a lion and he's not. He doesn't have much to it.
Right, right.
Now, it's like, it's now, without Jesus, you're no match. But with Jesus, he's no match.
Right.
I mean, when we get in authority, the devil starts messing with you. You'll be going, here, kitty, 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 because I got a stick. I'm going to hit you with it. You will never. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And Jesus said in John 16, in this world you'll deal trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. Now, years ago, when I graduated college, I was single at that time, and one of my best friends and my cousin, the three of us, we decided, hey, let's get a house together. We were all single. We'll just get a house. I mean, had working full-time, no family. So I thought, hey, let's get a house together. So one of them actually was buying a house, said, hey, y'all want to move in? We'll share rent. So that's what we did. And I didn't have a dog personally, and yet those two individuals each had a dog. So it was a smaller house, it wasn't a big house. And one of them had a boxer. If you know much about that breed, pretty good size, what, 45, 55 pounds, hyper, energetic, just full of energy. The other one had a little chihuahua. What does that mean, 5 pounds? But you know, somebody never told that chihuahua that it was the smaller of the two. As God is my witness, they would go to let these dogs out to use the bathroom, and you'd open the door, and that little chihuahua could run under the boxer. You know what I mean? Without hitting anything. I mean, he was so small compared to that big dog. He could run right under him. and get ahead. And there's times that he would run ahead of them and they get to the door, and instead of going out, he would turn around, show his teeth, and go, just daring that boxer to come out. And you know what that boxer did? He'd back up. And not only when they would go out, even when you would try to feed them, you put their food down, that little chihuahua would know what's going on, and he would run to that bowl, and that dog was trying to get to the food, and he'd get right next to that bowl, and he would show his teeth, and he'd begin to growl. And that big, big old boxer, he just smacked them. I mean, he just looked at it, and he just ran off. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't go outside. You're like, really? Really? You could eat this dog. That little chihuahua, he had some spunk. He was lion-hearted. I mean, he thought he was a lion. No, I mean, it is amazing to me that in the spiritual realm, if you could see, when a devil or a demon shows up or problem, it's just sometimes a little thing. It's showing its teeth and it's growling. Yeah. And we sit back and we're the ones in authority. We're the ones that are stronger. We're the ones that are bigger. We're the ones in victory. We're the ones, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're the ones that says that you're the head and not the tail. We're the ones that God says, thanks be to God, which always gives us the victory. We're the ones that say, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John 5, 4. We're the ones that have that, but we'll go, oh.
Come on, come on.
Oh, and our emotions go crazy, our imagination goes crazy, and we gotta, you know, you're an emotional person, you're a complex being, by the way. You're created in the image of God. You are complex. You have a physical body, you have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and you are a spirit person. That's why you pray and spend time with God and worship and read the Word. You're building up that spirit person. A lot of us, not to be sounding a little weird, so don't take it to extremes, but you know, each one of those have their own voice.
Yes, they do.
Not saying you hear voices in your head, and if you hear voices in your head, we'll pray with you later. But I'm just saying, each, and if you think, oh no, sure, go on a fast, and you will hear the voice of your flesh screaming. Your imagination, your mind will be going, why are we doing this? Well, this is not right, we need to eat. But that's just that's the flesh screaming. So we listen to our flesh, we listen to our fears, we listen to our emotions, we listen to everything. We got to get our stuff quiet so our spirit man can rise up and speak what God's saying. Now, another dog story. So I've had this little dog in our house for years. He's a little Lhasa Shih Tzu or something like that. Just a little, I mean, I'll carry him around. He's just this small little thing. And my sister and brother-in-law, who are our neighbors, they had this King Corso, which is kind of like a pit bull, but 100 and something pounds. But no one told my little dog that he wasn't supposed to attack the big dog. And so and their dog was named Max. My dog's name is Buddy. I was letting my three-year-old name it. Come on, that's what you get. She had a little stuffed animal named Buddy, whatever, so that's how that plays out. And so I would take Buddy out to use the bathroom. And if I ever saw Max from a distance, I would be like, hurry, hurry, because that dog was fast, and he was big, and he was strong. Buddy loved everybody. He was a playful dog. He was a great dog, amazing dog. Max loved everybody. Buddy didn't like everybody. So let me back up. So the big dog, he was playful, because if he would see Buddy, he would come running to play. And he would it would be tormenting to my dog. He would try to bite him. So they would literally, Max would jump over the sidewalk, and Buddy's trying to get to him. And by the time he got to this part of the sidewalk, Max had come all the way around and jumped over this one. And so Buddy's just going back and forth. And so I would set Buddy out, and if he saw Max, he would drop his head like a lion. And slowly crawl up to him, trying to get to him. And Max wouldn't even pay attention to him. And if once Max looked, then Buddy would go, and took off running. Well, one day, and Max just thought it was fun, and one day Max was just kind of like smiling and playing, and his buddy came, he went, boop. And my little dog went, brrr. He didn't want to play that game anymore. Sometimes we just got to smack the devil.
Come on.
He's chasing you. He's as a roaring lion. You are a lion.
Right.
As you grow in the things of God, you are a lion. Say, I'm a lion from the tribe of Judah. Building brave, courageous, lion-hearted people. We need to be the lion-hearted ones that God's called us to be. Because it honors God. It demonstrates to people that don't know him. It demonstrates to, listen, don't get mad at me. It demonstrates to a lot of the, what I call religious people, people that are just comfortable going to church and letting things fall into place. Well, if God wants it, it will happen. Where do you get that from the Bible? Some of you are looking at me real weird like that, like I just violated and stepped on your sacred cow. Listen, if it's God's will, it'll happen. Listen to me, that's not in the Bible. What do you mean it's not? Isn't God all powerful? Yeah, but he's elevated his word above his name. He won't violate his word. And I can prove you with one scripture that not everything that happens is from God. Because if everything that happens is the will of God, why do we have prisons? That person shot these kids. Well, it must be the will of God. Are you kidding me? No wonder a lot of people get turned off at God in church. Some simple-minded beep, 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 beep individual tell them, well, it was the will of God. God needed a few young angels, so he sent somebody into school. Are you kidding me?
Right.
So if you want to know the heart of the Father, look to the Son. He's the expressed image, Hebrews says.
Yes.
Jesus said the Father is good.
Yeah.
Not evil. He don't kill children.
Right.
Well, if it happened, it must come through his hand. That's a lie of the devil. Because then the devil has free reign into your life, and then you sit back and say, God, I guess you're trying to teach me something. If you want to teach, learn something, learn that you don't have to take this. I mean, we have enough common sense. If God forbid someone is breaking through your back door late at night, you wouldn't sit there and say, well, God, if they got in, I guess it's your will. No, you would not. Don't lie to me, you hypocrite. You'd get a gun and start shooting. Even if you don't believe in guns, you'd go find somebody with a gun and you'd start shooting.
Right, that's right.
I don't mind people disagreeing with me. I just hate hypocrites. Must be God. Well, here's a scripture. Let me get back to the Bible that will verify what I'm saying. And if that offends you, pray for me. I'll pray for you. Well, let's stay in love. But are you listening to me? The Bible says it is the will of the Father that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Father. Everyone gets saved. Can everybody get saved? Yes, but Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and many will find it. They will not make the road of righteousness. Why? Because their heart is hardened. They don't want to receive what Jesus has done, has already paid the price of their ransom to get them out of sin. They'd rather stay in sin, thinking that, oh, I don't need Jesus. You do. He's the only one that can pay the price. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven.
Amen.
The world was already condemned. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that we know that scripture, right? And then it goes on that God did not send the Jesus into the world to condemn the world. It was already condemned, my friend. The world's living under the condemnation of the sin of that price and penalty that Adam put the world under. And so Jesus came to pay the price. Oh, I've had people say, so, and they talk, you know, some people, they talk so soft and spiritual. They don't talk like that in the rest of the time. But maybe I'll just shut up. And I don't mind if people disagree with me. But you get weird when all of a sudden it's like some people, they don't want you to fight. They don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to be healed. They don't want you. Not everybody's in. They might love you as a person, but if they don't understand it, Corinthians says that the revelation, that the principles of God, they're foolishness. The spiritual things, the carnal mind cannot receive it.
Right.
It's foolish to them. And I would rather them say, I totally disagree. I think you're foolish, but I'm going to leave you alone than try to talk you out of wanting to be healed.
Right.
Talk. I mean, what's it to them? What's it to them? And you'll have people, yeah, I'm believing for a business to succeed. Oh, well, you should just be. Well, why don't they just shut up and deal with their own problems in life? It's like they feel like it's almost a spiritual benefit if they can talk you off believing God. Sometimes, and it's not the world. The world don't care one way or the other. It's a lot of times people in the church world who think they're super spiritual, and they're just many times super prideful. There's 12 tribes. Pick your tribe. If you don't like it, pick a different tribe. I have friends that I love and care about that are in different tribes, which means they don't agree with the way I read and understand the Bible. That's okay. Some are Nazarene and Baptist. They don't believe in the baptism and speaking in tongues. That's okay. That's okay. I love them anyway. But don't try to stop me. Right? Some people who don't believe in God cause you to be successful and prosperity. And prosperity is not you driving a Bentley. Prosperity is you having enough and having more than enough so you can help other people. Prosperity is not greed. People made it greed. That's why the process and the prosperity from heaven comes from generosity. So that, oh, it got quiet there. Because it's through the process of generosity, you'll change your perspective that it's me, me, me. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And don't tell me we all deal with this, because you've driven down the road to the highway one day. We've all done this and looked up at the lottery winnings and say, "Ooh, what would we do if we won $120 million? Right? And the top 10 probably wasn't tithing or giving to missions or helping the... Okay, so how do we get to where God wants us? We work through his process, and he's developing us to be what he's called us to be. So we're all growing. No one's perfect. Look to your neighbor and say, "I'm not perfect." But you are. But the rest of you, I mean, we're all growing. Let me get through this so you can go to lunch, because the buffet's about to close. The righteous are bold as a lion, Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 30:30, the lion turns away from no one. Now, some people, you're natural fighters. You're a go-getter. You're going to go after. Some aren't. But you know what? When the devil messes with you, rise up and who God's called you to be. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. James 4, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about building that lion heart. In a quick summary, we're going to talk about knowing the promises from God, knowing the identity of in God, knowing the praise to God, and knowing the presence of God. Because God doesn't want you to be a victim. He wants you to overcome. Amen. Do you agree? Give the Lord a loud praise if you agree. Say, "I'm going to win." Doesn't mean you won't deal with battles. The victory belongs to you. Does that mean I'm going to win every time? If you don't, figure out. Say, "God, what do I need to do different?" Yeah, I mean, it's like the NBA. When you don't always win the game, the winning team, you know, are not going to look over there and say, "You know, Boston won." No, Boston's going to be dealt with. Don't worry about them, all you Boston fans. Celtics aren't going to make it. I'll lighten up. You like Boston, don't you? I can tell the way his face is grimacing. No, if you miss a shot, you don't freak out. Just figure out what I need to do different. Because if you stop shooting, you'll never score. You miss all the shots you don't take. So when you're fighting a battle in your life, if it didn't work, figure out what you need to do different. Because the ability to win belongs to you through... Do you hear that? I don't know why anybody in the religious world would fight that. It just makes sense to me. Jesus wants you to win for his glory, his ability, his power, his power, his power. All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. If you bow your head and close your eyes, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you? And the way you process, and the way you think, and the way you experience. If he's only an idea of what someone's told you, if he's only a way to try to be better, if he's only an escape hatch when it gets hard, you're missing out on the greatest relationship in life. It's a real relationship. It's one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest miracles in life is having a real experience with the real God and coming from the kingdom of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of light, the family of God. Sins forgiven, guilt removed, past dealt with, peace in your heart. If you don't have that, I'm telling you, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can know all things are right between you and God and have the peace and rest that comes only from heaven. The world wants it. They don't know how to get it. But it's only through Jesus. The world wants it. They don't know how to get it unless we tell them. And this is how it comes through salvation. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A short, simple prayer can make an eternal difference. If it comes from your heart and you mean it. If it makes a difference in your heart. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer if you want a real relationship with Jesus. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Shout amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.